This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dunlinger, and I'm playing with food. When the history books are written about the year 2020, there will need to be several chapters on the pandemic era. No segment of American society has been left untouched by the global shelter-at-home orders. We have been forced to take a deep look into the soul of who we are as communities and as a nation. How the economy works, how religious practice works, how our food supply works, and so on. One aspect of American society that we didn't predict to have to come to terms with is racial justice. The brutal and public homicide of yet another harmless black man by a white police officer in Minneapolis sparked a long overdue global civil rights movement. It's forcing us to address issues of systemic racism and structural inequality to an extent that many have been asking for centuries. But only now are we just beginning to take a serious look at how to address and begin to dismantle systemic racism and structural inequality after several weeks of mostly peaceful yet very significant protests. But this is playing with food, you exclaim. Yes, it is. The Central Coast, known for its lack of ethnic diversity compared with most of California, was not left out of this global movement. Miss Odette Augusta has been serving up smoked meat and barbecue sauce in San Luis Obispo County for 17 years. She's been making her own barbecue sauce for most of her life, and she's also been a racial justice activist from her early days. I met her while she prepared 300 portions of her special smoked pulled pork. Yes, we talked about food, and we talked about racial justice. They aren't related, you say. For Miss Odette, and for many others, they are. This segment of Playing with Food is hard to hear for two reasons. We're in an industrial kitchen packing 1,000 pounds of pulled pork into containers, with fans, refrigerators, and all the sounds of a restaurant kitchen going on around us. And we are talking about more than just smoked meat. We tackle the painful subject of systemic racism and structural inequality.
Augustus, and I'm the owner of Miss Odette's Creole Kitchen, which is not a restaurant, I should say, more often or more loudly, because people keep calling wanting to know if I'm open. I cater and I do pop-up. Okay. And so right now I'm working out at Ian McPhee's Kitchen, getting ready for the Father's Day special. We're doing pulled pork and coleslaw.
Your Creole kitchen, that indicates that you're from the South.
Yeah, my family's from Louisiana. And I started out smoking meats because when you're from the South, you look for barbecue. You're not expecting that California grill burn up your meat and stuff. Everybody did the Santa Maria style grill. And so I'm like, okay, they grill here and they call it barbecue. In the South, you smoke. Perfection takes time. You don't hurry up nothing. Okay, Southern family, the guys smoked the meats. And my grandmother made the barbecue sauce. We made the barbecue sauce. The family story about the sauce, you know, they had moved to California in the 30s during the Depression. And somebody opened up a barbecue joint in the neighborhood. And of course, the kids wanted some, but they couldn't afford it. So my grandfather got a drum and made a grill and had my grandmother make barbecue sauce so they could barbecue for their children. So my grandmother made barbecue sauce and my grandfather had a grill and the kids were happy. By the time I came along in Stockton is where I was born. The neighborhood we lived in were a lot of Southern families. Everybody made their own barbecue sauce. I grew up thinking that's the way it was, you know? And so I was in college and I was gonna go to a potluck thing at one of the other students' house and she didn't have any barbecue sauce. She asked me if I had a car, if I'd go to the store and get some barbecue sauce. I said, barbecue sauce? She said, yeah. I said, you buy it? And she said, don't you? And I was like, no, I never bought barbecue sauce before. And so this guy heard me, he said, what do you need? when I told her she had everything except for some liquid smoke. He said, I'll go get it. And I made the barbecue sauce for that day.
And did they like it?
Oh, they loved it. That was how I found out people bought it. Now, I had no intention of selling barbecue sauce. Even when I started my business, I wanted to do the meats, not make barbecue sauce. I made barbecue sauce to put on the meat, but it was not my intention to be selling it. I did my first couple of things was a festival because I was ordering a food truck. That's what I wanted to do, catering, do the smoking of the meat. I made the sauce so people could put something on their sandwich. And I had a stack of cards. Can we buy the sauce? And so I'm trying to be self-financed and start a catering business, and people wanted the barbecue sauce. So it just developed a life of its own. I had just retired. I was 50. Starting a second career, okay, that was something that I wanted to do. I spent 20 years working for the California Youth Authority. Incorrect. 22 years. I retired from that, and I got everything started, and then the sauce just had a life of its own. I retired in 2003. In February 2004, I was at the Paso Robles Farmers Market, my first day selling the sauce. Only 12 people came to the market that day because it was rainy. And each one of them bought a jar of sauce. I had no expectations. It was my ex-husband's idea to get it out there because we had the catering truck that was being made for us. And he said, well, people will know who you are by the time the truck gets here, so why don't you just see about selling the sauce? And I worked my way backwards. Went to the health department, got a permit, went to the farmer's market and got a booth. And I was able to make the sauce myself and sell it. But then people started wanting it in their stores. So I got a co-packer then, and there was a manager here. He got it approved for all the Albertsons in the region, a lot of little shops and some wineries. You know, then I got my truck and I started doing festivals and going out to wineries and doing parties and stuff. So whereas I thought I was doing one business, I ended up with two. Never a dull moment.
Aside from the barbecue sauce, what's the most popular dish?
Macaroni and cheese, of all things. I'm like, really? I never knew that macaroni and cheese was an entree. I thought it was a side dish. And I'm like, what is this?
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian talking to Miss Odette about barbecue sauce and racial justice.
So let's pivot to racial justice.
Okay.
It's been a difficult month.
That it has.
What's on your mind?
I see white people waking up, finally. I keep trying to dismiss my, what took you so long, response. Because I'm like, Michael Brown laying dead in the middle of the street all day didn't do anything for you? Tamir Rice, 12 years old, playing in a playground, didn't do it for you? I mean, a little kid doing what a little kid does gets him killed. It's not even a confrontation with the police. He's in the playground playing. That didn't wake you up. So what is it that's doing it for you now? And what's taking so long? And just like me, listening to or singing We Shall Overcome Someday 60 years ago. And we're still talking that same talk, you know? This country wants to ignore black people and Native Americans like we ain't nothing, ain't never been nothing, and it wouldn't be nothing without us. Why now? What did it? I'm happy as all get out because I know nothing is gonna change until white people decide that it is. That's clear.
Do you believe the statement, racism is a white person's problem to fix, not a black person's problem to fix?
We didn't create it. If you read the history and all of the stuff that what the founding fathers did in order to institute it into the framework and the foundation of this country, while they're sitting around the table talking about freedom and justice for all and liberties and all this kind of stuff, while you got black people serving you while you're having that talk, and you're not including them in that talk, what kind of rocket scientist do you need to be to get it? It's not hard. It's really not hard to see that the right is not being done on no way, no how, and to keep trying to justify it and spin it and turn it some kind of way to make it look like we did something wrong. We were stolen and brought here. We had to work or die. Now, some chose death. A lot of them did. I think it's because of our faith, because we had strong faith and we very spiritual people, is the only reason why we're still here and progressing. The strides that we've made is because of that spirituality that's at our core, that gives us the strength and the drive to keep moving forward. No matter how much terror you have to deal with every day, you gotta live and you gotta keep going. So you can't stop. As somebody asked me one day, how do you do it? Don't you ever just want to give up? I was like, I never considered give up. What, die you? I mean, you think I'm supposed to consider death? Because that's the only give up there is. As long as I'm here, I'm going to keep doing. But giving up, that's not an option.
Would you consider yourself a racial justice activist?
Since I was born. Me, my son, and my granddaughter were at the march, one of the marches in San Luis. And I put 3 generations at the protest, protesting for a better life for our children. Me and my mom did the same thing over 50 years ago for the same reasons. New century, same old s***. I'm praying that my grandchildren won't have to do this again. I facilitate the book group for NAACP, the Healing Racism book group. I can't even read the books no more because it's stuff I've lived and I already know and I've studied. So it just got hard for me to read the books. But you know, they need to read the books. The group is all white except for me and the chapter secretary. And I've never met a group of white people that make me so hopeful in my life. They are working their asses off trying to learn and do better, be better, and make changes. So the first question that I have for each group is, so how many of you are willing to have the conversations with your family, your friends, or whoever you're meeting out there on the street? But if you're not willing to see it and call it and name it and discuss it, nothing's gonna happen. All this stuff you're reading, this stuff that people have been through and everything, is just gonna continue because it ain't bothering you, because it's not affecting you. If they ain't feeling uncomfortable, they ain't gonna make no change, because there is no comfort in change, for sure. So if they're making changes, if they want to make change, they have to be willing to be uncomfortable. All change requires some uncomfortableness, no matter what. So you're going to just turn away and bury your head as if this isn't having an effect on you and your world just because you don't want to be uncomfortable? And I think that the benefits are so much bigger and better than the small-minded, little bitty live-in-the-box kind of world that people have been doing.
So we're here in front of 1,000 pounds of pulled pork talking about racial justice. And on the phone, you talked about another food and racial justice link.
Thea Chase? Yeah, that's my girl. She's the queen of Creole cooking in New Orleans. And in the 50s and 60s, when civil rights people were needing a place to meet and it was a mixed group, she had a upstairs in her restaurant where people would go and be safe. Black and white, they met together, and that's what she was known for, and she'd feed them. So food is bonding. Food is very bonding. You forget a whole lot of mean, evil things when you're eating some good food. And she did her part. God knows she did her part.
So what role do you see that food can play in healing the wounds of racial injustice here in San Luis Obispo County and the Central Coast?
People eat my food, they figure, well, she can't be so bad. She cooks good. You know, food works. I don't know what else to say. Food works. I view cooking as an expression of love and an act of service. I truly believe that love has a flavor. And I know people taste it. I know this. Actually, I've been told it. I remember the first person that told me that was a minister at a wedding. And she came up to me and she said, girl, I tasted every bit of love you put in that food. That was the best compliment anybody ever paid me. She said, I know. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Because it does. I think that cooking with a bad attitude is why people get indigestion and have acid reflux, because you didn't fix it right. Yeah, you have to love.
You're listening to Playing with Food on Issues and Ideas here at KCBX Public Radio. I'm Father Ian, talking to Miss Odette about how food can bridge the racial divide.
So with that view of food being bonding and food healing and bringing people together,
Would you sit down for dinner with a white supremacist?
I would. I most definitely would. That would definitely be one of my live in the flow moments, because I would not have a clue. And I think food would probably be my end to start talking. Let's talk about the food first and see where that'll get us. Because if you eat my food, what could be wrong with me? But I don't hate them. I have no hate in my heart for none of them. I don't know that I would get that back if I would get that deference. Because they hate us. I mean, they really hate us. So would you try to do me harm by feeding me? I don't have that level of trust. But if I cooked, come on, you can sit at my table anytime. The food would be something that would lead us to a discussion in something. I'd have to live in the flow. I probably would want to know why. Why do you hate us? What have we done? If we treated you like you treated us, there wouldn't be many of you left. But we ain't out there trying to commit mass murder or burn down towns and none of that. Killing unarmed people, go hunting for black folks to kill. But we don't do that. We've never done that. Not even in Africa did we do that to white people. Never. And it's like the first time I'm catching a break from my business here, they do this news segment and somebody calls the health department to tell them I'm cooking out of my house. You know, working while black, you get in trouble. And I was like, really? I said, okay, she asked me to do that and she came to my house. But then you give them an in, now they want to go A to Z. For a caterer, the health department is the police because they can shut you down, put you out of business. You would think after 17 years, the health department would know that too, but they just took that opportunity to give me a call. I've been dealing with you guys for 17 years, and you really felt the need to call me about that?
As you know, the Central Coast and San Luis Obispo County in particular is not very ethnically diverse. How long have you been here, and what's your experience been like as a person of color here in North County?
Okay, so my get here was a horrifying experience because I transferred my job because I had married a man here. He worked at Cal Poly and I worked for Youth Authority. We said whoever would get a transfer, that's where we would live. And mine came through because it wasn't the typical, I'm a manager in the Department of the Youth Authority, I'm asking for a transfer to be with my husband. Normally that's pretty automatic. Like, oh yeah, as soon as something comes up, come on. But no, it took 2 years for me to get here. And then when I got here, they're really into this prove yourself thing. It's like, you got to be a manager and we don't know nothing about you. You know, you're supposed to prove yourself first. And I was like, well, I work for the department. I worked at how many institutions and field parole and I have a master's. Like, what else do you want? You know, it's like watching the cop kill George Floyd, but you're waiting for all the evidence to come in. I filled all the squares that you told me you wanted, and I got all these years of experience, but I need to prove myself to you? They had no black managers there, and I'm transferring in as a black manager, and you got these white guys that's been having their eye on that job for how long? And you got a black woman that's gonna come take it? Talk about mean, rude. It was a very toxic, for me, environment. I could have waited till 55, and had I not transferred here, I probably would have went the extra years. But all money wasn't good money, so I took my earliest out. It was not a good environment for me. No way could I bring it up because, oh, you want to play the race card, huh? I'm going to call it. You playing it. I was not welcome. Very few people passed up an opportunity to let me know how unwelcome I was on all levels. So, once I retired and I started my business, it was better. But you know, you still get the little slights at the store. When Obama was president, there was a guy that would come and park his truck out at the post office with Obama looking like Hitler and people honking in support. And you know, I have a P.O. box over there. I didn't want to go when he was there. You got to deal with that kind of stuff around. You're standing in line, the person in front of you is having multiple issues, and nobody opens up until a white guy comes, and then they want to help him, not the two black people that's been standing in line for 20 minutes. And I'm like, am I invisible? Do you really not see me over here? And he just walked up. now it's urgent. You know, I get that often. Why can't you just help the next person that happens to be me?
So one last thing before we go. What?
Do you eat meat?
I do, and I was going to ask you, can I taste your pulled pork, and yes. Can I taste your barbecue sauce?
Yes. Oh. I don't have no sauce.
Uh-oh.
It's not with me.
She didn't have the barbecue sauce with her, so I met her to buy some barbecue sauce and to get some pulled pork. So I have Miss Odette's No Joke Barbecue Sauce Finishing Sauce. And I've got her pulled pork here. I'm going to try it. Mmm. The pulled pork by itself was fantastic. The barbecue sauce is sweet and tangy. The No Joke version of it is supposed to be the hottest. It's got a little bite on it. Miss Odette doesn't know my heat threshold. It's pretty high. Mmm. Miss Odette, thank you for the soul food. Thank you for bearing your soul. And may your food and the food of others be part of bringing this community together. Amen.
Won't you sing it with me, everybody? Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us.
This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.
The present has grown.